All righty. Turn your Bibles with me to Philippians, the second chapter. Tonight we're going to finish the wheel. Anybody remember the most two most powerful words of the wheel?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. We talked about being decisive. You have to be decisive with your life. Your will, once again, your will feeds off your emotions, your will, your intellect, your memory. It feeds off all those. It gets information from all those to determine and make a decision. Your will, again, I'm just reviewing some things so when we go further, nobody will be lost. Your will is the most precious gift you have from God. Your will is what initiates everything. Your will initiates your relationship with God. Your will initiates relationships you have with other people. Your will is what determines what happens in your life. Your will is the thing that helps to bring to pass the will of God. Your will does. That's where we get obedience and disobedience. Mm-hmm. When you, in Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, it's God that worketh in you, what it says, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, in other words, it seems as if God's will, we have to allow God's will to supplant our will or take the place of our will. That can only happen when we yield. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Look at verse 1. The Apostle Paul is talking. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? All right, so who has to present it? I do. That's will. Now, watch what it says. Present your body a what? Living sacrifice. Now, once again, we talked about this before, but it's a good time to talk about this again. Living sacrifice. Wait a minute now. Most sacrifices we know are dead.
Right.
But here, the Apostle Paul is talking about a living sacrifice. So that means there's something else in us that has to die. So what is it that the Apostle Paul is talking to us about that has to die? Well, verse 2 answers it. Verse 2. Go ahead, read, yeah. But be ye transformed. So now the second verse is telling us to renew our minds with the word of God, right?
Yes, sir.
So that we can what? Recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That means in that first verse, what we're sacrificing is our thought process. So that means we have to yield our will to the will of God. That can only happen by us renewing our minds. Without renewing our minds, there will be no yielding of your will. You will always be a carnal Christian.
Yeah.
A Christian that's left up to his own vices and figuring out how he ought or she ought to serve God. Now how God wants to be served. See? So our will is important. If we don't take, and it's just, that's why you got to be decisive. Yes and no. Mm-hmm. What a lukewarm Christian going to be spit out? Lukewarm is spit you out. It's in Revelations. It spit you out. Lukewarm. You can't be. It's got to be either you're gonna be a whole Christian, or you're gonna be a whole sinner. God can't use a half Christian.
Amen.
He can't use somebody who is untrustworthy with their will. He don't know what you're gonna do. So this is why carnal Christians can't go further with God. It's not because God don't love them less or God loves anybody else more. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that God can't trust them no more, no further with his will. Jesus. Why? Because they won't submit their will. So if God, what do you think will happen if all right, you got a company. Mm-hmm. You hire employees and your employees don't, they listen at you half the time. Half time they don't. So now when it comes to landing an important deal or getting an important job done or getting an important client, are you going to send that employee?
No.
No. You're not going to send them. Why? Because they're untrustworthy. They don't control their will. They're not yielding their will to your will, which is your company. So they can't get promoted.
Wow.
Because they're untrustworthy. I don't know if they're going to. So now, watch this now. Let's just back up. You dealing with a person, a people in your company that's untrustworthy, mm-hmm. That means your company cannot be established. Mm-hmm. Because you keep giving them assignments. Half the time they do it, half the time they don't.
Wow.
Half the time they do it, half the time they don't. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you're not going to promote them high in your company. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with God. It's the same thing with God. If God, watch this, if you're not faithful in the least, well, a few things, I can't make you rule over many. That has everything to do with your will.
Yes, sir.
That's why you have to be decisive. That's why in Philippians 2, he said, is God both to do his will and to do of his good pleasure? That means God is coming in. You have laid your will. You have sacrificed your will.
Mm-hmm.
You have sacrificed your will so God can come and put his will on top of your will.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he can work through you.
Mm-hmm.
Now God can use you. He can trust you. You can go into the deep. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 in Romans. 12 and 3, watch. Let me get there. For I say through the grace given to me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than the other thing, but to think soberly, according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So when our minds are renewed, it opens the door for God's will to come in and supplant our will. Why can God's will supplant our will? Because I've yielded.
Mm-hmm.
I've said yes to God and no to everything else.
Yeah.
That's your will. The will is what messed up Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve weren't able to control their will.
Oh, Lord.
Eve saw the fruit, saw it was good to eat, didn't just her will.
Mm-hmm.
Adam disobeyed God, ate the fruit, will. Listen, you can talk about Satan all you want. You can blame Satan all you want.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But Satan didn't eat the fruit.
Amen.
Satan didn't eat the fruit.
Amen.
Adam and Eve ate the fruit.
That's right.
Will.
That's right.
So now if you have an indecisive will, God can't use you.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. An ungodly will is lazy, has no zeal or no passion.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes passive to people and circumstances that are around. It becomes indifferent. It's indecisive.
Yes.
It can be, it can be controlled by circumstances and is double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Double-minded. James 1. Your will has to be decisive. Because watch this now. Watch. See, James 1 verse 5 is talking about your will. It's talking about your will without mentioning your will. Because watch this. Watch what it says. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. All right? But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea that's driven with, watch this, that's driven with the wind and tossed. Right? Look at verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why would God give you instructions when you ain't sure if you're going to do them or not? See, we back to that living sacrifice, being decisive with your will. If you're not decisive, yes and no. If you're not decisive, God don't know if he can use you. It can be easily manipulated by other parts of the soul. Talk about your will. If it's not decisive, if it's not strengthened, if it's not used to using yes and no, it is not committed. It's wishy-washy. You're hot one day for God, you're cold the next. You're warm one day. Depends on who you're around. You're on fire for him one day, the other day you're cold as ice. One day you're warm. Depending on who you're around. You know, I'm afraid to offend this person, or I'm afraid of what this person going to think, or I just don't feel like it today. How can God use you?
That's right. You know,
God, watch this. God rarely uses passive people. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember Saul, right? Yeah. He became the Apostle Paul. Yes, Saul went from killing Christians almost overnight. Mm-hmm. He was decisive. Mm-hmm. His will was strong.
Yes.
He says no such thing as having, there's no such thing as you can be a passive Christian. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I'm standing in the defense of the gospel. In other words, Paul said, everybody know where I stand. They know what I believe. They know what I'm going to say in this situation. They know how I feel about this. They know how I feel about that. They have no question. Yes and no. Decisive. That's why God was able to use Paul. That's why God was able to use him like he used him. Because Paul had a strong will. Mm-hmm. Once he heard the voice of God, his mind was made up. Yeah. Nothing could change it. Mm-hmm. Nothing could change it. A lazy will rely on the opinion of other people continually. Mm-hmm. Or what you think. Yeah. Or what you think about this.
Right.
That ain't what they think, it's what God say. It's what God said. I don't care how many people, and they're catching on what I'm saying now. I don't care how many people in the alphabet community. Who know what I'm talking about, the alphabet community? Anybody know what I mean, the alphabet community? They got so many alphabets now, you don't know who they are. LGBT, you know, LBG. It's just alphabet community. It's just so many letters. I don't care.
Amen.
I love them. I love those who are struggling with that, but I'm not going to change my stance.
Amen.
I'm not going to change my stance because it's what God said. Mm-hmm. I don't have to come up with no scientific reason. Mm-hmm. I ain't got to come up with no philosophical reason. I see it in the word. Mm-hmm. Once God says it, that's it.
Yes,
I'm decided.
Yes, amen.
I don't care who else accept it.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. It's what God says. And
so now God
is looking for decisiveness. God cannot use indecisive people. And see, your will is what determines how decisive you are. So if you have a weak will, God can't use you. Because now he knows that he can give you instructions. Mm-hmm. He can give you instructions, and somebody can come change the instructions.
Wow.
Their opinion can come change it. Oh, it's happening. It's happening at church. You now have people in the church that are now having second thoughts about what the Bible says about homosexuality. This is not a discussion.
Right.
It's not a discussion. I'm not hating on nobody. Listen, you're free to do what you want to do. But just because you're free to do it don't mean God says right.
Right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Decisiveness. Paul said, I stand in defense of the gospel. Because Paul was decisive. Peter, another one. Peter was radical as they come. He was decisive. When Peter made up his mind he was going to do something, he did it. Mm-hmm. Peter, listen to this now. Jesus took Peter and two other disciples up into the Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. Power of God come down. The presence of God come down. Mm-hmm. Jesus is giving instructions. Peter, in the middle of all this, Peter's going to say, let's build three tabernacles and stay here. Forget the rest of them. Just decisive. That's what he won't do. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter got in that boat. That storm started coming. Peter said, look, I'm looking out for myself. Jesus, if that's you, mm-hmm. I need to be beside you. Bid me to come. Mm-hmm. Got out the boat. Decisive. Mm-hmm. Now, who in their right mind in the middle of a storm going to get out the boat? You got to be decisive.
That's right.
Can't be no second guessing. Peter said, okay, the rest of y'all heard me say, y'all stay here with Jesus. The rest of y'all going to stay here. Y'all going to sit in this boat. I'm going with Jesus. He sank. He got out and started sinking, but he was decisive about getting out.
Right. Right.
Decisive. That's why Jesus could use Peter. Mm-hmm. Jesus was Peter, one of the first people Jesus was looking for when he come out the grave, when he resurrected, mm-hmm. when he come back from death. He was looking for Peter because mm-hmm. he knew he could use Peter because Peter was decisive. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
God can only use Christians with strong will. Not swayed by the opinion of others. Not indecisive. Not moved by circumstances. Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote about Abraham in the 4th chapter of Romans. Abraham said he was fully persuaded that what God told him, he was able to bring it to pass. He was fully persuaded. That's a strong will. Circumstances didn't bother Abraham. Age didn't bother Abraham. Not having any children didn't bother Abraham. Having a child with somebody else didn't bother Abraham. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised would come to pass. That's will. Your will, listen to me. Your strong will is what helps enhances your faith. Without a strong will, you're going to be weak in faith. Because then you're going to be doubting whether God talked to you or not. You're going to be wondering, did God say this? Or did I hear somebody else? Did God say this? Or is this somebody trying to trick me? The only way you're gonna do that and figure out why is it God or not is Romans 12 and 2. When you spend time with God, you get more familiar with the voice of God. Your will becomes strengthened. ungodly will is generally full of doubt. Mm-hmm. And it's rebellious. Here's what an ungodly will would do. It would take wrong information from the intelligence, the imagination, the memory, and especially the emotions, and take it to the extreme. This kind of will motivates the other parts of the soul to think, imagine, remember, or feel whatever they can justify themselves and strengthen their position in being wrong. By whatever truth God seeks to bring conviction about, the ungodly will protects the other parts of the soul by refusing to admit that the information it received was wrong. How many have been there? Been there. Done that. See, your will... if you don't bring your will under subjection, you'll find out that your will be determining whether you obey God or not.
Uh-huh.
Here's how you break the will of the devil and strengthen your will. Number one, you must renew your mind or renew your soul by establishing in your memory, intelligence, and imagination and emotions what God says about any subject. That's Romans 12 and 2. Then your will begin to align itself with God's will. That's how your will gets strengthened. God will not violate your will about your personal life. You're going to have to yield it. God is not going to make you do nothing. See, this is why I have a problem with the hyper grace message. A grace just covers everything. Well, that type of grace is a grace that eliminates your will and eliminates responsibility.
Amen.
You have to present your body a living sacrifice, Amen. Not God.
Amen.
You got to present, hope you understand me, Internet. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. That means that you have to be determined and you have to make up your mind, this is what I want to do.
Amen.
The devil will influence you in every way he can to get you to do what he wants you to do. Romans, the 8th chapter. The blood of Jesus has broken the power of sin over our will.
Amen. Amen.
See, I said it that way on purpose. The blood of Jesus has broken the power of sin over our will, which means the sin nature no longer has authority in our lives.
Amen.
Remember last time we were together, we talked about you have to guard your heart. For out of it are the issues or the borders of life. The blood of Jesus now gives us a border to set around our life. Things we will do and we won't do. That power has been given to us. As a matter of fact, a lot of times, grace is the last thing you're going to access. Grace is empowerment.
Yes.
That's the last thing you're going to access. Because
mm-hmm.
you got two other things you got to access before grace. You got to access love.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to access faith.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can access the power. The Bible never said that God is grace.
Mm-hmm.
God is faith.
Mm-hmm.
It says God is
love.
1 John 4. So, before I ever get to grace, before I ever get to faith, I got to access love. Because why? Why I got to access love? We got Bible. Faith works by
love.
So I have to access love first. What love, what I mean by access love? I got to spend time with God. Not for what he can do for me, but what I can do for him. Then that gives me the opportunity to access faith. What to do? Now that I know what to do, now I need the power to do it. So that's why you have to have love, faith, then grace. They all work together. Love, faith, then grace. A lot of times we've been trying to operate in faith without grace. Trying to operate in faith without being in love. Now, here's the one. God never defined love. He never defined love. He told us how. He never defined love. He said in John the 14th chapter, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Right? So if I love him, I keep my commandments. So I know how to love him. Because I ain't going to be able to define love. Because if I could define love, I could define him. But I don't need to know how an engine works. All I got to know is how to turn the key. So therefore, I have to access love. Then I access. Then I'm able to access faith. Then I access grace, the power. I don't need no power if I don't know what to do. I definitely need no power if I don't know what to do. And if I don't know what to do, I'm definitely not going to use the power on his behalf. So that's why I'm be reckless. So that's why I have to be in love to access faith to be able to gain grace. Is that making sense?
Yes, sir.
So renewing your mind with the Word of God, spending time with God, is developing this love part. Because now, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, hope you listen to that, internet, whatever you're going through, when you spend time with God, now you're starting to see God's, you're starting to see your problem from God's perspective. Then you start realizing that what you're going through is not really about you. So now when you really start seeing that what you're going through is really not about you, then you can see God's perspective, and now you can hear God's instructions.
Amen.
Which means now you can hear answers.
Amen.
Now when you hear answers, now God say, okay, a strong will say when I give them the answer, they're going to execute the answer. So now I can give them the grace to go through it.
Yes.
You see how that works?
Yes.
So I spend time with God. It strengthens my will.
Yes.
When it's strength, my will is strengthened, God knows that his will can flow through me, and his power can flow through me.
Yes.
Because why? Now I'm getting answers.
Uh-huh.
I know his heart.
Yes.
So John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, what it says to do?
Ask.
Ask what? What you will. What you will. What that mean? Wait a minute now. Let's see what that mean. See, a lot of people think I can ask for what I want.
Yeah.
That ain't what that's saying.
That's not what it's saying.
Because if his word abide in me and I abide in him, then I can ask what I will, because what I will is what he wills.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's love. That's scripture. That's a love scripture.
Yes, sir.
That's a love scripture. So now my will is strengthened. So now God can reveal to me instructions on what to do. So now when I have instructions on what to do, now God can release his power on my behalf to make it happen. So now I can walk. So now I can walk in grace. So people are looking and wondering how you are dealing with what you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
How you able to handle what you're handling? How you able to overcome what you're overcoming? Because I've been graced to do it.
Yes.
Why? Because I know what to do. Why? Because I spend time with him. So I'm in love with God. I'm walking in love, which allows me to access faith, which allows me to walk in grace.
Yes, sir.
So that's why the Apostle Paul said, it's only by the grace of God that I am what I am. Because he saw God's agenda. He wasn't doing things on his behalf. He was doing things on the behalf of God.
Amen.
So when God said, you're going to do what I'm asking you to do? Okay, let me tell you what to do. Not only am I going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to give you the power to do it.
Yes.
And I'm going to go ahead of you and open all the doors that you need to be open.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, and I'm going to, and watch this, I'll remove anybody that's trying to close any doors.
Uh-huh.
Because now you ain't got to fight them.
Amen.
Because I'm in love.
Amen.
And love never faileth.
Never faileth.
So if I'm in a situation, the first thing I want to do is get in love.
Amen.
That's spending time with God. God, I want to see this situation from your perspective.
Yes. Amen.
God, and you can only spend time with God to see it from his perspective. Because a lot of times we see our situation only from our perspective,
yeah.
And we want God to see it from our perspective. We want God to see it from our perspective so we can just get out of this situation. Without seeing God, is seeing it from God's perspective and seeing what's going on, God. What is the bigger picture?
Right.
So now God said, okay, you've seen it from my point of view. Okay, now that you've seen it from my point of view, now you can, Romans 12 and 2, you can recognize where I'm moving. You can recognize the answer. You can recognize the instructions. You can see what direction I'm going in. Now that you see what direction I'm going in, I can now release my power to you because I know you're going to cause it to come to pass.
Right.
Now you're walking in faith. When your will is aligned with God's will, there is nothing that can stop you. So if you're being stopped, you could be quoting scriptures and your will not aligned with his. Because when you're quoting scriptures, trying to make the scriptures work without you. See, you're trying to make the scriptures go and work without you when you ought to become the scriptures and go do the work. Remember now, in love, get instructions. Now I'm graced. I'm empowered to go do what he's asking me to do. So when my will is aligned with God, I'm always going to know what to do. And when I always know what to do, that means God is always going to back me up. Because I've submitted my will to his. I'm not indecisive. I am decisive. God, this is what you said you want me to do. I'm going to get this done. Go to Colossians 4, verse 12.